Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 is one of the most important verses about ministry and a ministry having good success. It says, those things, plural, which you have both learned, key word, and received, another key word, and heard, another key word, and seen, another key word. Now notice what it says, in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now that's a verse everybody can't wear, but we got to wear, be able to wear this verse, and this verse has to be a part of our identity in order to train people and develop people. In praying in the Spirit, I have this word from God. It can't be done no other way. And then he gave me that verse. In other words, the things, well, the second statement. Let me make the second statement. You understand what I'm talking about. If it's not working for you, how are you going to tell me how to work it? So you see the two things? It can't be done the other way. You've got to be an example. That voice talking about being an example, and the manifestations and the demonstration and the revelations and the things that we see in the Scripture, they must be applied to our lives as leaders. We're going into the apostolic. In a few minutes, I'm going to give some things about the apostolic, the spiritual climate, and different things that happen in the apostolic. Another profound thing the Lord said to me, now it sounds simple, but it's so profound. The Bible is the Holy Ghost library. The Bible is the Holy Ghost library. In other words, the Holy Ghost only functions from the Bible. Here are some steps that has to be understood and applied with consistency. I was talking to my younger son. He was sharing with me about the youth ministry. And I asked my middle son where he got that from. He said, he probably got it from you, Dad, back in the years. But I want to give it out today that we're going to need this in our ministries. We're going to have our identity straight. And I can't think of no better way than Galatians 2:20 and 21. I'm crucified with Christ. You know that scripture in 21 talk about I will not frustrate the grace of God. And then insight is so important. Insight. And then, well, that's 2 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. I have not seen insight in one of the things I've been emphasizing is that we as leaders got to get the body of Christ where they can see, where they can hear, and where they can understand. It's very important. That's the way Jesus talked about it in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And then we go to intimacy. That's loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, the prophet and all the law and the prophet hang on that. So we need to have that intimacy with God, loving God with all our heart. And then you come to the point where you have an impact. Then you go to the point you have an influence. And then you can involve those whom you lead in properly in the things of God. Now, two other things, and then I'll get into the apostolic for a few minutes. Two other things. The Lord, the Holy Ghost said to me, for 30 days, I want you to go on a 30-day fast. I want you to only read the Bible, no other book, and listen to the Holy Ghost. And listen to me. And so I started that yesterday, October 1st. And I'm profound things that happened already. And he said that on the basis of this, scripture-wise, John 6:63, he said, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. So what I see personally, I can share with you, because I'm an avid reader, I read all the time. But I was reading a whole lot of stuff, reading other people's revelation, reading and reading and reading, and I had dropped back from what years back ago, where I would read and settle down a few minutes, then the Holy Ghost would speak fresh things to them. So if any of y'all want to go into it, just go look for the fresh start reading your Bible. Another thing I do with my Bible is I read it out loud to myself. Read it out loud, and then I had a greater faith. Then I thought it was true, but this is going to apply to all of us because I know we're all doing it. He says, praying in the Spirit, but I need you to talk to me personally. Tell me what's on your heart. See what? In other words, he's saying, we are praying in the Spirit a whole lot, but we're not praying in English enough. We're not praying in our language enough. We're not searching for words that come out of our heart that we need to happen. We're just praying in tongues. And so if you would check into that and just take your time and talk to him and wait on him to answer you. And I'm not saying stop praying in the Spirit, but I'm saying we're praying in the Spirit at large, and we're not praying in the understanding enough. See to it that you take care of that. It's very important. Very important. Now, as I teach in my class, as I try to teach the congregation that I'm overseeing about the apostolic, and the apostolic is increase in government is what it's dealing with. And there are certain words you're going to have to know the definition of to understand this, like proactive, that word. I know some of y'all know the definition of it, but I'm giving a person a policy or action, creating or controlling a situation by causing something to happen, rather responding to it after it happened. In other words, it, for lack of a better word, make it happen. You make it happen in the spirit world. A person or policy or action creating or controlling a situation by causing something to happen, rather respond to it after it happened. In other words, if you make it happen, you'll have to wait to respond to it after it happens. And that's part of the apostolic setting. That's part of the apostolic scene. And then there's another word called reformation. Montreal? Something going on this phone. I don't know what's going on here. Somebody tried to call. Hold on a minute. Huh? You're good? All right. Reformation means to straighten out thoroughly and to restore to a natural, I say supernatural, and normal, I say divine condition. I'm giving you a definition for a reason. Revolution, a sudden, radical, or complete change. A fundamental change in the way of thinking about or visualizing something. A change of paradigm. And then we come to the fourth word, which is restoration. A bringing back to a former position or condition. Now, all of these things had to be changed for us to get the five ascension gift or the five gifts of grace back into place. And so I have to study this slowly in this apostolic time. It says restoration is taking place, including the ministry of modern apostles, apostolic churches, and apostolic believers. The Holy Spirit has given us a bit of prophetic insight into this restoration. Now, listen to the last part of the apostolic spirit. Let me go over that again in these apostolic times. And then you look at the things I give you when I first started. Restoration is taking place, including the ministry of modern apostles, apostolic churches, and apostolic believers. So we've got three there. That not only the office of the apostles got to come back full, but then the church got to understand the element of being an apostolic church. And to do that, you're going to have people who train to be apostolic believers. In other words, to function as they function in the book of Acts or in the epistles, in miracles, signs, wonders, revelation, discernment, anointing, etc. He said the Holy Spirit has given us a bit of prophetic insight into this restoration of the apostolic spirit. Now, the second thing is this would produce a different spiritual climate, different spiritual climate. Striking sign of apostolic believers is manifest in spiritual climate of the churches they attend. And you'll hear more about that in a few minutes. Now listen to this statement. Reformation precedes restoration. Remember the two definitions I gave you of reformation is to straighten out, thirdly. Straighten it out. You got to straighten it out for it. And to restore. Straighten out for it, then you restore. So the reformation in restoration is bringing back to a former position or condition, but you have to have the reformation first. You have to put things in order as they should be clearly enough by revelation and by understanding before the people that they can understand why we're making a transition, how to make the transition, and how to walk in the transition of the apostolic church. When they say an apostolic church, you're talking about the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist complementing each other, and these various anointing and graces and gifts coming together as they should. And I don't see why we can't do it, because we got the offices in our organization. All the offices are there, and we just got to learn to function in them like the Spirit of God wanted to. So we have been hearing from the Holy Spirit that a restoration of the apostolic church was coming. Now, I believe a part of it is here now. A measure of it has already come, and the Spirit has already arrived. We just got to walk through it slowly. If you put down Acts 3.21, if the restoration don't come, people keep being held at the level they've been at all time. See, the Word of God teaches a restoration of all things before the returning of the Lord. Very important. Restoration is taking place, including the ministry of modern apostles, apostolic churches, and apostolic believers. And then the Holy Spirit, I'm repeating myself, the Holy Spirit has given us bits of prophetical insight into this restoration of the apostolic spirit. Now, here are some profound question or statement made that as I study to teach my class and teach you on and impart some things. So you might ask yourself these questions about the restoration and specifically about an apostolic ministry and your involvement. Number one, how can apostolic ministry, churches and believers be identified? Two, what are the strongest earmarks that set them apart from others? Three, why is restoring apostolic ministry important today? And four, and why is the apostolic spirit important to me? Now, those one, two, three, four things must be clarified. We'll do it. The apostolic ministry in churches and how they identify. Well, they're different. They flow different because they got everything in order. You see, the Lord said earlier, he said it can't be done no other way. I know what he's talking about. It can't be done no other way. In other words, the assignment that we have as ministers, you pastors online, all the other gifts online, if we don't come together and function as he designed us to function, we'll never see the results that he wants us to see, and we won't be ready for him to come back. The different spiritual climate, the striking sign of the apostolic believer manifests in the spiritual climate of the church they attend. The apostolic spirit is rather than the apostolic believer that attend to apostolic churches. Now, he says the most amazing thing about apostolic believers is their sensitivity to the spiritual climate around them. And that's so important that your people be trained, your pastors, your people be trained, you be trained, all you ministers be trained to be able to discern the spiritual climate and know what's going on around you at all times. And then he talks about the strong apostolic anointing on apostolic believers. They aggressively contend, now watch this, with the hard heavens of their territories and command spiritual change in Jesus' name. So as you train people, I'm speaking from experience now, as you train people properly, you can get more accomplished. And one of the things, it's not hard work in ministry that caused ministry to function. It's being able to receive instruction from heaven and apply it properly. You know, a lot of times people do a lot of hard work. They got a lot of evangelism. They're going to do this. They're going. They're always going. Always going. It's not about hard work. It's about what did heaven say for you to do. I think we could take on a format now in ministry, not doing a lot of things because somebody else is doing it. No, you have to listen to the Holy Ghost, because if you don't, what you're going to end up in a struggle trying to do something you think God told you to do, but you're doing it because of the format that's been laid out for you. And so I talked about different government last night in the school, man-made government, denominational government, compromising government, friendly seeker government, I mean, it's on and on, religious government. And you know, in Isaiah 9, it talks about his government. And that's what the apostolic is about. So therefore, if we had not known the apostolic and the prophetic ministry as we should and connected to them properly as we should, it's a lot of things being left out. Because it's God, even including myself, went many years, it's God's way of doing things. So if you don't do it his way, you don't end up with the result that you need. I thought it was a good thing you said churches that carry an apostolic reforming spirit are churches that do more than nurture and pastor people. They know how to contend with the hard risen heaven that hinders prayer, praise, liberty, God's voice, and the spiritual growth of the people. They know how to command spiritual gates to open so the King of Glory come among them. Very important. You see, you know, so the apostolic carry a stronger anointing and a stronger awareness of the plan of God. And then the prayer, the praise, the liberty, all that change, hearing God's voice, prayer, change, opening spiritual gates start opening. I know it's happening in my ministry right now. Apostolic music has a spiritual punch. It's the sound of authority and breakthrough. Apostolic song, isn't it? A commandment, decreeing, and proclaiming. They are songs that lift and exalt Jesus while prophetically decreeing the will of the Lord for your life. Now, I'm blessed. The Lord sent my praise leader to me, I don't know how long ago, but she had been trained. She had been singing a long time. They cut an album and all that. But to a large degree, she knows how to follow the Spirit, and she knows how to be corrected. And a lot of times, the commanding, the decreeing, and the proclaiming is not only in the song, but it is in her apostolic spirit of leading the praises. And so it's very important that you train your praises, that they don't sing the same old song. I remember having a praise leader. She had to always have paper. I had a musician strict by the level. He wouldn't hit a key unless it was on the program. I need somebody to hit the wrong key sometimes, somebody to flow with the Spirit and to sing songs at the spur of the moment and just let them start coming out. Trust the Holy Ghost. And this will start happening in our churches. Them same old songs, same old humdrum, I don't care how much you shout and stuff, they need some songs commanding, decreeing, and proclaiming the apostolic anointing. Now, when I read this, it's important. I gave you the definition. Reformation precedes restoration. And a lot of times we're trying to restore, but we haven't straightened things out. You can't go back to restoration. Look at this again. Listen to Reformation. Reformation means to straighten out thoroughly. Then you can restore. But you can't restore unless you straighten it out. So it says Reformation precedes restoration. We have entered a new apostolic time. We are experiencing another level of restoration and the release of apostolic grace. We're entering the new apostolic revolution and reformation. And all my studying is, I'm studying and praying about it. The church at this point is at a dimension of weakness at large. It has tried to blend in with other organizations, and like the 4-H Club and sororities. I mean, people look at the church that way. Even the political government aim to put the church under them. When the church go in to see the president or different people, they like to come under them. But that's not the way it is. When we go in as the high. And we have a word from God. If you go back and read the Bible, when the prophet went into the king, the prophet ministered to the king. The king didn't minister to the prophet because the king had his throne on earth. But the prophet was working from the throne of heaven. And I think the apostolic going to change that. The way they look at us as ministers. That's why we can't let our dignity down and start dressing like the world, thinking like the world, having music like the world, dancing like the world in the church. We can't let that happen. You have to know the difference between a worldly dance and a Holy Ghost dance. Your spirit can tell you that. You got to be hard enough. You got to be strong enough to quit whatever is not right. Stop it. I mean, you can't be worried about how big your church is, how many members you're going to lose. You got to trust God on that behalf. And do as we straighten these ministries out to function in the spirit, we need to not be afraid to do this. All right? So as we enter this new apostolic time, we are experiencing another level of restoration. Number one. And the release of apostolic grace. Number two. We're entering a new apostolic revolution and reformation. Now, you look at the word revolution, reformation, restoration, you'll see what we're talking about. And then in Hebrews 9:10, we know that times of restoration advance by a reforming spirit. In other words, if there's no advancement in the same old, the restoration will not take place. Now, I'll tell you what the word reformation means. It means to straighten out thoroughly and to restore to a natural and normal condition. All right, two more minutes. You cannot enter the time of restoration without the time of reformation. Things got to be straightened out. That's where the battle be straightened out. Reformation always precedes restoration. So it could be we've tried to have restoration in different aspects of the ministry and different aspects of the spirit, but we can't have restoration unless it be straightened out. And that's what we aim to do among ourselves and help as many people as we can. The vehicle for this restoration would be the reforming anointing on the apostolic church. The reforming anointing on the apostolic church. Now, here where we'll know we're getting where we should go to be. And look at reforming churches or governing churches. Now, that's with the proper leadership. Number one, they are confrontational in spirit. In other words, they're just not going to go for anything. They're not going to have to start no conflict, but they're confrontational in spirit to hold the ground, or hold up the, as the whole Baptist people say, hold up the bloodstained banner, but they recognize right is right and wrong is wrong, and they count on an anointing and a power to defend the gospel like Paul did. Number two, they understand their authority and carry a high level of spiritual boldness. Number three, they confront and tear down religious idolatry, unproductive religious forms, and vain religion tradition. At Jeremiah 1:10, we're going to do it. The apostolic will have to be backed right up by the prophetic, and there are some things that are going to change in our ministries, in our churches, in our preaching, in our thinking, all kind of ways. We're going to change those things. It's going to be a process, but I'm excited. I'm excited because we can't just go by feeling a good cliche, saying some good things. This is serious business, and we're right in the middle of it. So I think those things ought to be understood, right? Reforming churches give identity to people other churches rejected because of what they carry spiritually. Reforming churches are highly committed and dedicated to advancing the cause of Christ throughout the world and don't ignore but rather attack the giants in the land. Attacking the giants. Oh, my goodness. Let me name some of the giants now. Religion. For an apostolic minister, apostolic ministry, religion is going to be dealt with. I'm not talking about fussing in your sermon. I'm talking about just dealing with it. Divination. Witchcraft. Racism, anti-Christ spirit, Jezebel, secular humanism. Humanism was regarded particularly to the belief that humanity is capable of morality and self-fulfillment without belief in God. Had to be dealt with. Foreign gods, including the demonic spirit of radical Islam. Reforming believers. Reforming believers and churches build their lives and ministry on spirit life living rather than dead social religious program. I'm going to finish reading it. I'm going to talk about it. They are the proactive believers and churches with bold pursuing spirits that carry and impart spiritual strength to others. Now you want to read these scriptures, Ezekiel 1, 24, and Ezekiel 43, 2. Let's go back over this. Reforming believers. Reforming believers and churches build their lives and ministry on spirit life living rather than dead social religious programs. I had to do that. I swept the programs out of my church over the years. I think God would prepare me for this hour, and I came tradition, and I was a Baptist a long time, and a lot of religious programs. He said they are proactive believers in churches with bold pursuing spirit that carry and impart spiritual strength to others. Apostolic believers in churches have fervent, even militant prayer lives because they believe the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man making power, God power available. And so reforming believers carry spiritual authority, that's a resurrection power, exuvia, and not afraid to use it. I'm going to close in a few minutes. I'm going to sit back and talk to you in a few minutes. I want to get to something. They have a vision for reaching all nations for Christ, taking dominion, and ministering with fresh prophetic insight. They have an orderly divine flow and command dominant gifts to stir and come alive. And then I'll tell you, apostolic believers know the word of God and the ways of God. Now, I'm going to give you this and then I'm going to close. Reforming believers in churches. Number one, they build. Number two, they govern. They guide. They establish. They attack hard heavens. They carry spiritual liberty. They impart spiritual gifts. They set orders. Fathers, sons, and daughters are connected properly. They mature believers. They set the pace. They influence, train, equip, send, correct, hear, see, say, and do. In other words, they are there on cutting edge. Now, I'll talk to you more about that. I was reading and talking to you about it because we've got to get this thing handled properly. And you, I guess the text I started with is so important. You've got to get this thing working for you. And I think what the Lord is showing us about spending more time in the Bible than reading what other men in Revelation are. And always be ready to hear what God's saying to you. And spending time to talk to him personally, not just praying in tongues. You know, a lot of times we just say, Lord, I love you, and praying in tongues. I think you need to take time to find the right words to say before him, to ask him what he wants you to do and what direction he's giving to you. So that's what I want to say to you today. Now, a lot of things going on. I was supposed to minister 9 times this week. We're going to War Shakers Thursday night and Friday morning, Friday night. I know you know about that. Now, Phil's son, Jeremiah, I think he's on the line. Phil and I had trained him. My brother, we called it, brought him in and got him lined up in the ministry, started preaching. And so Sunday night of the week of the Money Coming Conference, and Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to install Jeremiah as the pastor of World Shaker. It's so good to have a covering like LTMA, our organization, because I know some lady was telling me about her husband died and then put her out of the church. And they had something going on for the ministry and put the children out there, all kinds of stuff. Just because they had an apostle or a covering like LTMA, that ain't going to happen. I answered them when I went to World Shaker. I went to let them know, listen, and nobody come here with no craziness, because they're not going to just have to face Jeremiah and women. They got to face me. And thank God the church has done such a splendid job. The people are alive. They're fighting. Men of them are in school. Men of them coming back from their training. They're graduated. They're still there. And when you talk about Jeremiah, they go to clapping. They're well-trained. They're ready to go. So we'll install him Sunday night. We'll give a charge to the church, charge to Jeremiah, and then our minister of the word of God will lay a hand on him and put him in the seat. It has been an experience for me, but yet when people are being trained properly, and you'll feel preach a lot of stuff, what I preach, same thing. It's amazing to see how what the word of God can do. A lot of churches have splits. They have all kind of old crazy things, but if you organize the church right, you won't have all that. So I'm looking forward to y'all to be at the meeting. Some of y'all who are going to be at the installation, I know a lot of the ministers may have to go back. I got enough ministers to do it, so I'm not implementing that you got to be there. I just want to let everybody know that finally we're putting Jeremiah in seat. God bless you. Until we meet the next time, keep the faith, keep doing the thing that you know to do. I'm real proud of you all when I come on the line, that you all on the line. I think you're unique, and I pray God bless it upon you. Father, I just thank you right now. Thank you for the time you've permitted us to be together. We are not perfect, but we're aiming to please you. I pray a fresh anointing on every minister, every ministry, every church that is in LTMA, that fresh anointing of the apostolic anointing and the prophetic insight begin to flow on these men and women of God and the people that they are over. We thank you for the strength you've given us to this moment to be able to set our rudders to do ministry, and we give you the glory and the honor. Whatever need is on this line, whatever attack, whatever blessing is not coming through, may it start coming through. I come in agreement with every member of LTMA. I put my anointing in agreement with them because of connection. It should be a difference. I bless them in a supernatural way today. Thank you for everything. help us to understand. We're trying to do exactly what you want to do. Give us a better understanding, a greater clarity. And we thank you so much for keeping us together and letting us walk together in harmony, in love, and in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm through, Leroy. You got it.